Now, I believe you've heard much of my heart already with what's being brought out in these passages in communion. I'm picking out three passages out of John that I think can help us to better understand how much he cares for us. And then as we share communion, I'm just hoping that the outpouring of his Spirit within us will cause such worship and praise that this communion time will be extra special and significant. I'm going to begin in John chapter 19. We're always on his mind. I think there was a song that was written, "Always on Our Mind." Okay. I know that in the past I had heard a couple of grumblings or rumblings about that particular song, "Above All, He Thought of Me." And some in the Christian community were taking it that the author was being a little bit selfish and self-centered, that God was only thinking about him. I've never taken it that way, and I don't believe that's what the author meant. I haven't talked to him personally, but I believe his sentiment was such that he just was thinking about the gruesome Passion Week, and that in the midst of all that was being tossed at Jesus and all the things that were being thrown at him and his flesh being torn for us and everything else, each one of us was being thought about. He went to the cross with every one of our names on his mind. And I believe that's the intent of the song. And I believe that these three passages that I'm going to share with you, now that's not exhaustive nor conclusive with the total thought, but maybe I can get you, you know, encouraged and motivated to continue to look for others that might be there. But in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 25, I guess I should probably go back to 19 here. It starts out, "Therefore the soldiers did these things." And so what did they do? Well, they were just finishing up really abusing him and then casting lots for his clothes and really mistreating Jesus. Okay? That's what that first opening phrase is all about. "Therefore, the soldiers did these things." It's making that statement. They abused Jesus incredibly at the crucifixion. "But there were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene," or Mary of Magdala. "Then Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, and he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" What he was doing is he's up there on the cross. No way. Maybe some head gestures is all he could do. He's looking at his mom and Mary, and he's looking at his disciple whose name was John. And he's going, "Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby. And he said, 'Mom, Mom, behold your son who's going to take care of you.'" And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." In there, what Jesus was doing is he was passing on a cultural tradition of care for his mother. Jesus, this is the one who did not have the strength to carry that beam to Calvary. And if you talk to a doctor or anybody in the medical field that investigated the abuse that Jesus had taken, the lack of sleep that he had experienced and no food and those type of things, in my view, he should have never made it to the cross. No human body can endure that kind of destruction. And so he's on this cross, barely conscious. And if you were in his shoes, what would you be thinking? Oh, man, I'm not a crook. I'm not a thief. I don't deserve this. That's my creation. I should just jump down here and I should slap them all in the side of the head and walk away, right? Yeah, with the cheese, man. And Jesus is on the cross. He says, no, culturally, my responsibility, since I'm the eldest son, and most scholars do agree that by now his father was deceased, so that gave Jesus the biological responsibility of his mother. And Jesus thought of his mom. Jesus on that cross says, Mom, John's going to take care of you. John, you take care of Mom. I am passing on my responsibility as the eldest son. I want to make sure that Mom is taken care of. That's above humanity. That's far above humanity. Now, how many here, if you have a hangnail, a bad tooth, or anything like that, are you thinking about anybody but yourself? No, I'm serious. I agree. Last week, I got a bit of that body flu, and I just wanted to sleep. Leave me alone. I don't care what's going on downstairs. I don't care about anything. Leave me alone. Ever been there? Uh-huh. But Jesus, he barely has a thread of life remaining in his human body. Mom, John's going to take care of you. John, you take care of Mom. Oh. The second passage is in John chapter 20. Verses 15 to 17. This is at the tomb. And I come from a long line of teasers and practical jokers. So I'm thinking of these women are coming into this tomb. They're looking for this body. And I believe the reason why Jesus was not recognized very easily was because the last time they saw Jesus, he was not recognizable. And so these women are at the tomb. My personality would be, okay, we won't go there. But Jesus sees these women at the tomb. And their hearts have been ripped out of them. Jesus is already raised from the dead. He could pull a few pranks or jokes on them, couldn't he? But he sees their trauma, their weeping. And he just kind of embraces them, not physically. Mary tried to hang on to his feet, and he says, wait a second, I have not been glorified yet. But he went to the extra measure, I believe, to make sure that the women, their weeping would be turned to joy. He cared about them. Now, God, who has the whole world on his shoulders, right? Wouldn't there be something more to worry about or to care about than one or two people? But Jesus took the weeping women and turned it into joy. And you know, I left out a little bit of an application on my first point in John chapter 19, that in our dysfunctional situations, can we possibly reach out with the presence and the power of Jesus to somebody else to give them an encouragement, to give them the understanding that you are still responsible and that you care about even the little things? And with this, when somebody is traumatic, instead of trying to, when somebody's traumatized, can we possibly turn their weeping into joy, even though it might be tempting for us to... practical jokes and in a very uncaring manner that we might treat others that are going through a tough time. I know one of my sayings is, I've got two words for you, right, Mary? You'll be all right when you get better, right? Suck it up and deal with it, man. Get over it. Or make a joke out of somebody else's tough time. Jesus does not do that. Jesus goes to the heart of the matter, and he says, you know what? You're right. He's not being pushed off somewhere. We're not hiding him. In fact, it's me. So what do we, Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Boy, that can get some practical jokers, things going on. Okay. Jesus said to her, Mary, and I bet everybody knows when our parents call us Myron Lay, I know who's calling me. Right? And I think that's what, not in the same way, but in a similar way, Mary was all discombobulated, and Jesus says, Mary. A familiar way that he said that only she would know it was him. And we know those little endearing phrases we can use on our special loved ones, right? And just said that one thing, and she goes, Rabbi, it's you. And so he revealed himself without, you know, carrying it on or prolonging the agony or whatever. He stopped her weeping and turned it to joy. The third thing we have in the 21st chapter, verse 7. And the disciple therefore whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on. For he was stripped for work, he was a fisherman, and he threw himself into the sea. In there I tie together with what Jesus told the ladies. Go tell the disciples, and by the way, make sure you tell Peter. Who needed the most grace of all the disciples? Peter. Who denied Jesus 3 times? Peter. Who was probably the most embarrassed of all the disciples? Peter. Jesus did not, in his most vulnerable moments, Peter's most vulnerable moments, ever played with his emotions. Peter needed Jesus. And Jesus said, "I will come to you, I will embrace you, I will make sure that you understand my grace and my love and my forgiveness. Because you need to hear it more than anybody else." Isn't that something, how Jesus would single out this one person who needed it the most? He thought of him above all else. The life of Christ is so amazing and so above normal humanity. I get almost embarrassed when I read it and I don't fully embrace the full truth. We have an amazing God. We have an incredible Jesus, a Messiah. And no matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, no matter how many times we have turned our back, no matter how many times we've become selfish and self-centered, self-righteous, he never stops thinking about us. And above all the disasters and catastrophes and the bludgeonings and all these other nasty things that are happening in the world today, it's not going to derail him from addressing your individual need at the moment, nor mine. And I believe that's what the communion table is to teach us today. We are not forgotten. We never are forgotten. Now, we can walk away from God and feel like we are forgotten. But that's not Jesus' intention. Jesus says, "Come a little closer. I will embrace you even more. Because above all, I thought of you." Should we share the elements?